Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, folks, we have had an interesting week. And the thing that I want to start the show off with is something that the media normally will not talk about, because all they want to do is talk about the bad things the cops do. They don't show things like this that actually show that a lot of cops, a good portion of the cops, actually shows admirable restraint in the face of horrific things that the people do to them. And this one is one, and I've got the full audio on this, but rarely do we hear an individual so thoroughly disgrace herself as this woman did during a traffic stop by a Latino Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy last month. And I have done everything that I can to get this woman's name, because this woman needs to be called out on her actions. This story does, but it doesn't name her. And a woman like this, and one of the things, the reason why the media is not going to talk about this is because the media would say the cop is white, he was Hispanic. The woman was black. And what the article, which is in Western Journal, and I found several of them. There was one in Western Journal, one in the Epic Times, and there was actually one in the in Albuquerque, in the LA Times too. But rarely do we hear of an individual so thoroughly disgrace herself as this woman did during a traffic stop by a Latino Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy last month. She had been pulled over for using her cell phone while driving. The deputy approaches the car and tells her, "I pulled you over today because," and that's all he got out before she interrupted and says, "because you're a murderer." She says this, interrupting him. During their brief encounter, she repeatedly calls the deputy a murderer. She insists that he call his supervisor because you're threatening to kill me and my son. Now, the deputy is a model of restraint here. He remains calm and polite as she spews her poison. She continues by informing him that he will never be white. "You're always going to be a Mexican. You're never going to be white. You know that," she says. "You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be." Now, in this story, it says the woman's race is unclear because her image has been blurred. But on a show on 96.3 Albuquerque here, they actually said that she was a black woman. They actually gave her name, but I really wasn't listening, so it's out there somewhere. But this woman needs to be talked about. This woman needs to be, the audio of this needs to be put out everywhere. Because this woman supposedly is a teacher. But this happened in San Dimas, California. And here is what happened during this encounter. This is what the lady said.
Yes, you are, ma'am. Good morning.
And the speed limit is 40, and I was going 38, so why are you harassing me?
You're correct. I pulled you over because
you're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because you're a murderer.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
I wasn't on my phone. I was recording you because you scared me.
You can't use your cell phone while you're recording.
I can record you.
May I have your driver's license?
It's at my apartment.
What's your apartment?
It's at my home. I'm just taking my son to his
parents. Do you have your driver's license?
I mistakenly left it at home.
Do you have a picture of your driver's license?
Yes, I do.
May I have it?
And can you call your supervisor, please?
Because I already did. He's on his way.
Good, because you're a murderer.
Okay.
And so you're giving me a cell phone ticket? Is that why you're harassing me?
It's not harassment. Yeah. I am enforcing the law.
I have a right to record the police when they're harassing me.
By all means, but you can't do it while you're driving.
I wasn't texting or none of that.
Do you have that picture?
You scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay. Can you zoom in on that for me?
Sure.
Again? Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
You're a murderer.
What's your last name? I can't see that there.
Well, here you go, murderer.
Stop shaking. Zoom in on that for me.
No, because you're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son. Can you give me
okay. I'll tell you what. You keep smiling.
Yeah,
you're on camera.
You're trying to threaten to kill me.
I didn't say that.
I'm not smiling. You're the one who's crazy.
Hold that still. I can't see that. Is this your car?
Yes, it is. You're trying to say I stole my own car because you're jealous?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
You wait for me right here, okay?
You're jealous.
All you need to assist is your signature. He's only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
There you go, ma'am. Sign inside the red box.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gasco?
Sign the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
There you go, dear.
Have a good day.
You want to be white so bad.
Now, in this article, this woman called this cop, this sheriff's deputy, a murderer at least seven times. But according to Fox News reporter Bill Malugan, who brought the story to Tucker Carlson tonight on this last Monday, the deputy is a 14-year veteran. The deputy told Malugan that he uses both a department-issued body camera as well as one he purchased privately to protect himself from false allegations. The L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, told Malugan he was appalled by this woman's behavior and he praised his deputy's restraint. Now, this is the reason why the media will not report on this thing as much as they should. If he had been nasty to this woman, it would have been all over the news. It would have been everywhere. But Villanueva noted, quote, she claims to be a teacher. I'm not so sure where she is teaching, but if she represents her profession, is that an indication of her profession or the caliber of people? Unquote. He compared the incident to the arrest of George Floyd, who died in custody of Minneapolis police in May 2020. Former police officer Derek Chauvin was convicted of murder in Floyd's death on April 22nd. You have one incident like George Floyd, Villanueva told Malugan in an interview. You have one incident like George Floyd, but some people want to label the entire profession as if everyone was a Derek Chauvin. It shows you that bigotry, racism comes in all colors and ages. That's proof of that right here. If you want to call all of the deputies murderers, unfortunately, you are doing exact same thing you're accusing other people of doing against your own kind, unquote. According to Malugan, the woman called Internal Affairs and filed a harassment complaint against the deputy after the encounter. Sheriff's Department also said that the woman has a history of making false claims against deputies, and that's what Malugan told Carlson. He told Carlson the incident is a grade A example of the kind of animosity that some of the officers out there are encountering on the streets daily. And the story lit up social media. It's completely amazing the things that people are getting away with here. And being Western Journal, they always have this poll question that they ask. And in this one, it says, can this kind of behavior lead to more violence between civilians and law enforcement? I voted in that. I voted yes. And out of all the votes, 1% said no, or four votes. 99% or 416 votes at the time that I opened up this article said yes. People, this whole idea that all cops are bad, this is a great example to show everyone that they are not. And they need to be allowed to do their jobs instead of being forced not to, like the liberal left constantly does. Welcome to the show.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said the protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he can...
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. But even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and thought Mexicans raped us and murdered. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Welcome back to the show. The call-in number is 646-478-5284 as we get our show started here. One of the things that went on this last week is President Joe Biden, or faux President Joe Biden, I might go ahead and say, because that is exactly what he is. He's a fake president because he didn't win. But he announced this last week that in his first 100 days, more jobs were created than any president in history. And then we get articles like this coming out, and this is also something else that the lamestream lying media won't tell because it goes against the narrative. But Biden claims U.S. is on the right track despite devastating April jobs report. Now, if he had created so many jobs, why would the April jobs report be devastating? Faux President Joe Biden delivered a series of remarks Friday, that's today, claiming America was on the right track despite a devastating jobs report released earlier in the day showing the nation only added 26% of the anticipated number of jobs in April. American employers added 266,000 jobs in April, a far cry from the 1 million jobs anticipated by economists, according to the CNBC, and the unemployment rate rose to 6.1%. Let me tell you something, folks. Unemployment rate is a hell of a lot higher than that. There is no freaking way that it's as low as it is, as they're saying it is, after he shut down the pipeline, after he shut down the work at the border, on the border wall. There's no way, because he laid off, in those two things, he laid off thousands and thousands of people. But Biden delivered his remarks at the White House, opting to wholly ignore his administration's failure to get Americans back to work with the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. And that's supposed to give all of us some more money. Well, whoop-de-doo, all that's doing is making sure that inflation's going to rise, our national debt's going to skyrocket even more than it already is. But the earliest signs from this job report just announcing today are promising, Biden said, and the American Rescue Plan is starting to make a real difference. Yeah. Friday, there is more evidence our economy is moving in the right direction, he said. This progress, this is a testament to our new strategy, he continued. We've got work to do to state the obvious. We have work to do. Biden can also briefly acknowledge that there were, in fact, 8.4 million fewer jobs now than a year before, continuing on his campaigns of spin. The bottom line is this. Today reports, the bottom line is this, Biden said. Today's report is good news. Any thinking person knows this is actually terrible news, and the Democrats' campaign of COVID fear-mongering and ill-conceived unemployment bonuses are keeping Americans from rejoining a workforce eager to welcome them back. Indeed, according to the Associated Press, fear of COVID is driving innumerable Americans to refuse to return to their face-to-face jobs. And parents throughout the nation are now needed at home more than ever as their children are forced into distance learning initiatives, which means they're still at home. It was mind-numbingly disingenuous of Biden to tell Americans Friday he's getting them back to work while simultaneously touting the fact that his administration sent checks to more than 130 million households precisely so they can afford to continue to stay home. As if that were not enough, Biden had the gall to lay responsibility for Americans' current woes as well as his hopes for the future at the feet of American business owners. Essentially, what Biden is doing is he's making sure that everyone who has to work for a living or everyone who has to go to school or everyone who has to raise a family are going to be his enemies. And he'll make sure of this. The president used his 11 minutes of self-congratulatory hyperbole to defend his administration's unprecedented $6 trillion in proposed spending, all while singling out businesses that did not want to pay for his ludicrous social pipe dreams. Raising taxes, the studies show, will not slow the economy at all, Biden said, when a reporter asked about the effects of his proposed spending. Asking corporate America to just pay their fair share will not slow the economy down at all. It will make the economy function better. It will create more energy. Unquote. Create more energy? For who? The Democrats? Because it's sure as hell going to take all that energy away from the working class of America. Who the heck wants to go back to work when we have a fake president who doesn't know his rear end from a hole in the ground? And he hides in the basement when things don't go right for him. And then he goes and makes his so-called fake vice president and puts her in charge of the border wall, but she hasn't been seen in almost 50 days. Does that tell you folks that he's actually doing his job? Does that tell you folks that he's actually doing what America needs to have done to make this country great again? I'll tell you one thing. That is not his plan. He doesn't want to make America great again. He doesn't want to do anything of the sort. He wants to tear this nation down. Sending out $6 trillion or having a spending plan of $6 trillion and sending out $2,800 to millions and millions of families is not the way to bring this nation back. The way to bring this nation back to fluidity and greatness is to let the people go back to work. I have a thing on later on in this show that has to do with a man who does a show in Washington State. Actually, he's in Idaho right now because he is doing his best to stay safe. But he did a thing that was about 14 minutes long, and I've got the whole thing, but it's from the Todd Herman Show. And he talks about meeting a woman in line at a store. And the woman works in the medical profession, and she knows about the lie, the big lie, and the biggest lie. It's all masks, COVID, this so-called pandemic. It's actually a plandemic because they planned this so they could take control of this nation. Now, I have this for later on in the show because this guy really has it together on what he was talking about. And I am going to go ahead and go to my first break here, and I will be right back, and then we'll get to that story. Be right back.
You are listening to NWCR Radio, where the truth rings free with the voice of reason in this very unreasonable world.
Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Okay, we are back. Call the number 646-478-5284. If you want to call in, and you will be here for another hour and a half or so. Washington, D.C.'s mayor, Muriel Bowser, appeared alongside embattled governor, tyrannical governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham on CNN on Wednesday, where they discussed Lujan Grisham inviting the mayor to the Democrat Governors Association, despite D.C. being constitutionally barred from being a state. Now, we've all heard this. The left is trying so hard to make D.C. a state, but constitutionally it cannot be. Also discussed was Bowser's extreme ban on dancing at weddings, with an order saying dancing and standing receptions are not allowed. Bowser defended her ban on dancing, saying she was absolutely considering opening more activity. Now, our tyrant in chief in this state applauded Bowser for the ban, saying in New Mexico, if you're socially distanced and you're wearing a mask, you can meet with other requirements with our level of vaccinations, people are allowed to dance. Otherwise, they're not, folks. She added, "I want to give the mayor. It takes courage to be really clear about what constitutes high-risk activities and behaviors." Tucker Carlson of Fox News railed against the measure, calling it stupid and crazy, while dubbing Bowser an Ayatollah in determining whether people could dance at weddings. Carlson blasted Lujan Grisham as deeply mediocre and dumb for applauding Bowser's buffoonery. And that is the absolute freaking truth. That woman is about as dumb as a box of rocks, and that's saying that could actually hurt the feelings of rocks, because rocks are actually smarter than this woman is. You know, it's like the comments in this thing says, Tucker definitely got it right again, and he did. This woman is a moron. And so is the one in D.C. And the things that we have to put up with in these liberal states is amazing. But I was listening to Todd Herman. Now, he has a show, and he's in Idaho right now, but he's right around the area. He talks about Spokane, so he's probably just inside of Idaho at Coeur d'Alene or something like that, because I used to live in Spokane, and he mentions Spokane in this update thing that he talked about. And he says that we are being lied to. Now, he has talked with doctors. He does a show in Washington, a very liberal state. But this is one of these. This is what he said.
So I've always just thought it's goofy when people make videos in their cars and such. But this just happened. So I'm in a semi-free country, Idaho, right now, because that's where we're staying during the shutdown. And I just had a conversation with someone standing in line who we're at a grocery store. And we got to talking about masks and this whole conversation about masks. And I was so ready to give my speech, my mask defense speech, because I've been rehearsing this just so hope someone's going to jump on me about masks. But she wasn't wearing a mask. So we got to talking about the masks, and we walked outside, and I mentioned the CDC study that I talk about on the air all the time, and she turned to me, she goes, oh my gosh, how do you know about that? I said, oh, no, I'm so into this. I cannot stand this mask drama. And I said, you know what? I mean, I don't know you from Adam. I just met you. But I'll tell you, this to me seems like the biggest of the big lies. Like everything that we're being told about the COVID just continues to get more and more unbelievable and more deceptive. Turns out this lady's a doctor. So we're standing in line, and she says, you know, I'm a pediatrician. And I have parents coming into my office. She works out of Spokane. She has parents coming into her office asking, when is the vaccine available? They've had parents make appointments to get their kids in line for a vaccine, for a virus the kids are not at risk for. And this woman's pro-vaccine. I mean, she's a doctor. Most of them are. She started to look into the vaccines now. She took this same point of view I did, which is, you're willing to lie about COVID. The CDC is willing to lie about COVID. The World Health Organization, it's phenomenal. Listening to, you know, Inslee continuing to have the schools shut down. I was listening to Dory Monson today. He had Brock Huard on. His girls are going to sports camps and playing sports in other states where they've opened the teams. And why wouldn't they? Because the kids are not at risk. So this lady has parents coming into her office strictly for the purpose of, can I get my kids in line for the vaccine? So this doctor is now saying, how is this even conscionable? How are they even presenting this as something that anyone needs, let alone kids? And she was so up with the research. She had read this piece. I asked her to do a video with me. She said, no way. She figured out I was in media and then figured out who I was. And so it was this whole thing. But she said, there's no way I could do a video with you. It would end my career. The enormity of the lie that kids are at risk from this, it can't be overstated. And my frustration is with the Seattle Media 5, Seattle Times, King 5, Cairo 7, Como, Q13. How is it that you are allowing your readers and viewers to believe their kids are at risk? How is this conscionable? You don't need to believe me. You don't need to believe Dr. Scott Atlas, 14-year head of neuroradiology at Stanford University. Just get the data from all the countries. Kids don't die from this. Just go look up the data for flu deaths last year from kids. On the average, look at the average, 150 kids per year from the flu. It's 32 with COVID. With, not from, with COVID. Just look up the data and tell your listeners or your viewers. This is, you are making a decision to deceive. That's the only way I can describe this, is it's a decision to deceive. And it's brutal. You are allowing Jay Inslee to shut the schools for literally, literally no scientific reason at all.
And that's it, folks. In states like New Mexico, California, New York, Michigan, where the schools are still closed, there is no reason for this. Science is not on these people's sides. They're not on the tyrannical governor's MLG side. They're not on Newsom's side, and he's learning that right now because he's getting taken out of office. He's getting recalled. Then we have the governor of New York, Cuomo, and the almost gone governor, mayor of New York City, de Blasio. He's in the end of his term. He can't run anymore. And the governor of Michigan, they're all doing these things that are pushing things that are nothing more than junk science. And that's all any of this is. Your global warming crap, that's been going on since the 1920s, folks. And they've been saying the same things every time they come out with stuff. We're going to die in 10 years. We've only got about 10 to 12 years left. They've been saying this since the 1920s. That's over 100 years ago now. We're still here. This earth is still, sun's rising every morning, sets every evening. Right now, we're getting the last rays of the sunshine here in Albuquerque. It's almost gone. But it's still light outside. The weather is beautiful. We had rain today, so the air is nice and clean. And I don't find it any harder to breathe now than I did back in the 1970s, the last time they were telling it, last time that I remember them telling us that, oh, we're all going to die because, holy crap, the end of the world is coming. No, the end of the world is not coming. The only one that's going to be able to tell us when the end of the world is coming is God. He can tell us when the end of the world is coming. He can tell us to the millisecond he can tell us. But scientists who don't have science on their side, no. But he went on from that and continued.
Second huge lie. And I want to thank Tracy Taylor for this. I was listening to Cairo Radio and tuning in and out of Michael's show and going back and forth between Michael and listening to Dory. And Tracy on Cairo Radio called out the fact that the new spike in deaths is due to a backlog in reporting, data dumping, death harvesting. Jay Inslee didn't call that out. When Jay Inslee put out a tweet to say, well, we've got record deaths and deaths are starting to spike again, so you need to mask up to open up, and well, that's just the right thing to do, and I'm not wearing my mask because of the Fourth Amendment. What? The First Amendment. Yeah, the first one. He didn't say that in his tweet. The spike in deaths that was reported, and I tweeted back to him when he did this. I said, this is going to turn out to be reporting fraud. Boom. Backlog in cases. And Jay Inslee treats it like a spike in deaths, although they happened weeks ago. How is this allowed? How do the Seattle Media 5, the Seattle Times, Cuomo, King 5, Cairo 7, and Q13,
How do you live with yourselves and not calling this out? You have people running into pediatrician's office saying, I need a vaccine for my kid. You have that going on. You have JNZ saying, well, we've got a spike in deaths. And you don't call him on it. Who, what, where, when, why is the journalism thing? Why is he lying? Why is he incentivized to pretend there's a spike in deaths? Someone explain this to me from the Seattle Media 5. Give me a reporter, a news director. You tell me you're not interested in the why is he lying about this?
You know, and that doesn't just go with the Seattle Times Intelligencer or any of these other newspapers. The New York Slimes is doing exactly the same thing. The Albuquerque Journal is doing exactly the same thing. Hello, Sarge. Good to see you there. The newspapers in California are doing exactly the same thing. They're not using science in this. They're not using science at all, but they're using stuff to make sure that we stay fearful and afraid for our lives, because they will not tell the truth. But that was not all he talked about. Now, this next one is the longest one, but this guy... One of the reasons why I'm playing these is because this guy, he has a show just like me, except he's on probably terrestrial radio instead of on the internet. But he does his show out of Washington State. And he's bringing up a bunch of big good points here. Listen to this and listen to these points he is bringing up.
These are not personal attacks. There are people who say, look, politics are so heightened, don't do personal attacks. I'm not. This isn't about Jay Inslee, the grandpa. This isn't about Jay Inslee, the husband. This isn't about Jay Inslee, the former high school basketball player. This is about a guy who's tweeting lies. How can he not know their lies? He doesn't investigate. He doesn't look back at the dates of death. The Department of Health knows. His own Department of Health knows that this is death harvesting or data stacking. You don't think he could go to him and say, yeah, Governor, actually, this isn't a record day for deaths. These deaths happened weeks ago. They know this. Just like they all knew that the prisoners they were releasing from prison were outside of high index groups, or high indices for risk, just like they knew that. None of it adds up. And there's no skepticism at all from the Seattle Media 5. I don't know, well, no. I want to be so careful about ascribing motives to people at the Seattle Media 5. It's got to be that they just think that the only as bumpkins. You know what it is? It's bumpkin protection. It's protecting themselves from the bumpkins. Because you and me are too stupid to understand the truth. It's that? I mean, I would hate to think that they've got some deal to advertise the vaccine. That can't be the case. It's not going to need to be advertised. The very idea that there is a worldwide production of a vaccine when this virus, this somewhat nasty flu, is taking the lives of less than 0.26% of the population. It's astonishing. So this doctor and I talked about this. We sat in the board, stood in the parking lot and talked for a little bit. And finally her husband, he comes up out of their car, walks over and says, we're going to be late. What are you doing? And she introduced me, and he goes, let me guess, masks and vaccine. I go, yeah. So he's a school teacher. He's a school teacher. The unions are fully aware of the research that kids aren't at risk. Drove him crazy. Can I put you on video? Same thing, no. They know the kids are not at risk. All of this is politics. when it turns out that my prediction is right and more people die because of the policies of the lockdown, what happens? What happens? What are we at, 1,500 deaths? And everybody pretends it's a cold thing to do this. It's not. 80 to 90% of the people who die are in long-term care facilities or nursing homes. Sunset of life, just like one day my mom will be in that case, in that position, and I hope she dies in her sleep before then. I hope I get to say goodbye to her. We all have this. This is all our future. All of us face that in the moral coil. If you remove the people in nursing homes who would have died from the flu, you're talking about 350 people. And the entire state is going to roll back into a shutdown. This is how desperate you are, the Democratic Party is, to keep power, to get power back. You are being treated like a possession. Voting has never been more important. Voting for a Republican has never been more important in the governorship. And I should say one last thing to the businesses. Our business runs on your business. I am blessed beyond belief to be able to endorse some of the greatest companies in our region. The businesses that are making the decision to go with the mask drama, restaurants, you walk in with a mask and take it off to eat. There's not a soul who thinks that makes sense. Not a human being with a functioning brainstem thinks you're protecting anybody by walking in with the mask and taking it off to eat. When you don't get with your trade groups, when you don't get your cocktail-swilling, golf-playing, tax-cut-obsessed chambers of commerce to stand up for you so you open up as a group, but you want us to wear masks, you're making us the opponent. And the person who has is one person, one. It's Jay Inslee who's doing this to you. The rollback, the freeze in the phases is backed by absolute junk data. You have got to stand up as a group. You have got to tell the chambers of commerce, your trade groups, your lobbying groups, that you will never pay them another dime until they all organize. You have criminal elements, violent Marxists burning down buildings, getting no penalties. They're not afraid. I'll do anything I can to stand with you. But you have got to gather together and stand against this stuff because it's lies. And to the teachers and the doctors and the pediatricians, like the lady I met today and her husband, I get it. You don't want to go on video with me. You have got to speak out. You cannot remain silent. You know if you're a pediatrician and you've read the data, you know kids aren't at risk for this. If you're a doctor and you've read the evidentiary data, you know people below the age of 50 are not at risk for this. Why are you pushing it down on me to speak out and my listeners? Why are you doing that? Is it that scary to raise your hand and say the evidentiary data is 100% clear, kids don't get the COVID? Well, they get it, but they don't die from it in any numbers. Phenomenal. What people will do for power, the meek will inherit. The meek will inherit.
And that's absolutely the truth, folks. The meek will inherit. But the problem with that is that we have to stand up and show that we know what the heck is going on, and we have to get together and start doing the things that this man talked about. Right now, we're just sitting here like here in New Mexico, we're allowing our tyrant of a governor to do the things that she's doing. We're allowing it. More and more people are starting to rise up about it, But if we started hitting her in her pocketbook, so to speak, and the same goes for all of these big tech companies that are now starting to spew out all this anti-American rhetoric, hit them where it hurts. Stop buying their products. And I know there's a lot of people that won't do this. But in order to, for this to work, in order for this to save this nation, we have to do this. We have to let these companies know they don't run America. We have to let the politicians know you do what you need to do for this country or you're gone. Not enough people do this. Not enough people have the gonads to stand up against something that they know is going to give them pushback and stand up anyway. Now, me, granted, I do this show. For the most part, I don't really have to worry too much. I'm getting knocked off of YouTube because they say I'm lying about things that I talk about. And the things that they're talking about me lying about, I got doctors to confirm what I was saying. But it went against the leftist liberal ideals, and I'm being shadow banned. It thrills me to death when I see somebody come in and actually listen to my show when I'm actually doing it. But for the most part, 99% of my listeners come after the show has been archived. I get very few phone calls, and the ones that I do are great. I love it. But it's like this guy said, people are afraid. They're afraid, like here in New Mexico they are. My first wife, she lives here. She wears a mask because she works at a restaurant. And it's like he said, what sense does it make to have to wear a mask to walk into a restaurant, but once you sit down, you can take it off? Who is that protecting? I mean, if they're saying that we have to social distance and we have to wear a mask to keep everybody safe, then why don't they figure, why do they allow us to go into a restaurant, like he was saying, you walk in with a mask, and then you sit down and you take it off. You don't have to wear it anymore. Is that because the virus is only at 5 feet to 6 feet or whatever, wherever your mouth and your nose is when you're standing, but when you sit down, it's not there anymore? Anyone with a thinking brain knows that doesn't work. And essentially, all this is a cold, a virus. And for some people, it can be a nasty one. And when it comes to masks, I understand if you've got a pre-existing condition like my brother does, he's had emphysema, he's got bronchial problems, wear a mask. By all means, keep yourself safe. But if you're healthy, and I see this all the time from my apartment, I can sit out on my patio and look down and watch people walking all alone with nobody anywhere near them, and they got a mask on. It's 75 to 80 degrees out there. The sun is shining brightly. COVID dies in that situation. But they wear this mask. I saw somebody the other day walking down a parking lot, and it was hot outside. He had a mask on. He stumbled and fell. Had a heck of a time getting up. I ran over to help him. He was out of breath. And I told him, I said, take your mask off. You need your oxygen. That mask is not giving it to you. But the governor in this state, along with the governor in California and the governor in Michigan and the governor in New York and all of these states that are still locked down, the people do not hear anything but what the governor or what the dictator of that state wants them to hear. And, you know, it's like I started this show off with that audio of that policeman, that sheriff, who had to put up with this woman calling him a murderer. The policeman's name had been released. The woman's name, I looked for it today. I tried to find it today. I know it's got to be out there somewhere. But the media is keeping that name under wraps because she is supposedly a teacher. She is a black woman. And then she goes on this tirade against this poor sheriff and said, I know you want to be white. You're Mexican and you'll be Mexican all your life, but you want to be white. And he finishes up the ticket and he says, well, I'm glad you feel that way, dear. Here's your ticket. Have a good day. I don't know about you, but I'd have had a heck of a time to keep myself from strangling that woman. Called him a murderer about 7 or 8 times, said he was going to kill her, that she was scared because she just knew he was going to walk up to her and kill her and her kid. Nowhere in that audio was him threatening her. It was all her against him. But we never hear things like that in the media. Another one, after officers do their job in stopping an armed teen, the high school kicks the police off their property. Really? Stopping an armed teen at school. And the police do their job and then get kicked off the property. It says police officers are at schools to protect everyone and make sure that the learning environment is safe for all students. But according to Knox News, KNOX News, 17-year-old Anthony Thompson was killed in the bedroom of an Austin East Magnet High School in Knoxville, Tennessee, on April 12th. Police had responded to the school after Thompson's girlfriend had reported him for domestic violence. 4 responding individuals were the officers Brian Baldwin, Jonathan Clayburg, and Adam Wilson, who was the school's student resource officer, as well as Lieutenant Stanley Cash. Per Knox County District Attorney General Sharm Allen, a brief struggle ensued, and Thompson's firearm, which had been in front of his pocket, in the front pocket of his hoodie, allegedly discharged, with Baldwin disappearing from view. The police did their job here, folks. But after they finished doing their job, they got kicked off the school property. That's saying that everybody thinks that the police are bad. But what would have happened if the police would have thought, oh, well, there's an armed teen, then a high school. Let's not go there. Let's just not go there. We'll get in trouble. What would have happened if the police would have done that? What would have happened, folks, is the fact that the police would have been blamed for not doing their job. One of the reasons, I used to think that being a policeman would be a really neat thing to be. I used to think that it would be really cool. But not so much anymore, folks. Not so much anymore.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
In the world of business, it is always exciting to announce the formation of a new one, and an LLC to boot. Enter now, I in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, based out of Jamestown, Indiana, but working out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87112. With drones being the big up-and-coming billion-dollar industry, I in the Sky has gotten in close to the ground floor, and the possibilities are almost endless, from photography and weddings from above, to photographing homes for realtors, all the way to mapping. I in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, affiliated with Garden Graphics and Printing, can attain all your needs in photography from a perspective that was hard to attain to before without a good amount of risk to your employees. That's I in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, at 505-317-8741, or email us at gardingr@reagan.com. That's GARDINGR@REAGAN.com. And the phone number again is 505-317-8741. We are your one-stop shop for drone services and printing needs. Give us a call. We do it all.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Hanner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back. Glad to have everybody here today. It might have been yesterday or the day before, was National Prayer Day. I put my update that I did for it, put it on YouTube. I put it on Rumble, and I put it on BitChute, and I also shared it to Facebook. And it's kind of surprised me that going with some of the things that I have been saying past couple of days, that I haven't heard from YouTube saying that I have had my account deleted, which has already been threatened. They do not want things brought up that do not agree with the way they want America. It's like anti-cop Michelle Obama is running around saying that she fears for her daughters every time they get in a car by themselves because there are cops out there. Well, folks, the average person would think, well, if there's cops out there, that's a good thing because if something happens to me, they're out there and I'm safer because of it. But because the media constantly gives these morons a big microphone to use to spew their hatred for America and for the cops, it seems like that's all we hear anymore. From the New York Slimes, the CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, I get a lot of that. On my television, I can get CNN. I will not watch CNN, but I have to watch, like if we have a local channel, which we've got an ABC, CBS, NBC, all three of them push the advertisements that in order to make New Mexico safe, we have to wear our masks. And then they put the little soundbite of a little kid in there saying, we're not out of the woods yet. To me, that is nothing more than child abuse. The idea that they want to use children to push their agenda that has absolutely no science to it whatsoever. And they use children to do it. And the media thinks, oh, that's perfectly fine. Oh, yeah. Kids never lie. The problem with that one is that, yeah, maybe kids don't lie, but they do. All you have to do is teach them a certain way, like the liberals do, teach them the lies about America, and they'll grow up believing those lies about America. Teach them the lies about COVID, and they'll believe those lies because they're coming from adults, and adults are supposed to be the ones who know everything. Kids are supposed to learn from the adults. But in this day and age, they're not. They're being led down the wrong way. They're being led down the wrong path because the adults are telling them, oh, you have to wear a mask. Why? COVID won't hurt them. Most children are healthy. Now, if they're not healthy, sure. Make them wear a mask. But if they're healthy, all you're doing is taking their health away from them. And I can see America in 20 years, we're going to suddenly start seeing people dying at a younger age because of this mask. They're not getting the oxygen the body needs. They're getting carbon dioxide that they're breathing back in. They're shutting down their immune systems. And when they get older, the damage will be done. They will not live as long. And I can see this coming. They've had this graph over the last 100 or so years showing, well, they've had it forever, not actually now, but they've had this graph showing how people used to live to be 25 years old, and then as medicine got better and doctors got better, that age started going up. And we're probably at the highest right now than it will be. Because in 20 years, that's going to start curving down. Because everybody during 2020, 2021, probably 2022, if they can keep themselves in power, the leftists are going to make us wear masks until they can't anymore, which is one of the reasons why I said that guy on that radio show was saying it right. We need to get together, band together, and start fighting them. Because all they're doing is destroying our country. They're destroying our health. They're destroying our lives. While they just live theirs. They tell us we have to wear masks. But they don't. They tell us we cannot go to beauty parlors, but they do. Then I found an article today in the Western Journal about Jen Psaki in another one of her bombastic press conferences. The headline on it said, Jen Psaki makes massive admission about Joe Biden. The White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, disclosed in a Thursday podcast with CNN analyst David Axelrod that President Joe Biden's advisors routinely caution him against speaking to reporters. And I thought that this administration was supposed to be the most open administration in history. First off, I haven't seen any openness in it. But the article went on to say, that's of course no surprise. If you've been paying attention, Biden is often absent for days. His cohort in chief, Harris, has been absent for quite a while now. But it says, and when he does speak, he rarely makes sense for more than a couple of minutes. The man even struggles when reading a teleprompter. But Psaki actually admitted to Axelrod on his The Axe Files podcast Thursday that those around him make a concerted effort to keep him away from answering questions. Axelrod, the former senior advisor to President Barack Obama, gushed over Psaki's resume on the hour-long podcast. She, of course, worked for former Secretary of State John Kerry, another idiot, and also for former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, another idiot. Axelrod, who has run in the same circles, asked the press secretary about what it's like to work as the face of the Biden administration. Psaki might have gotten a little too comfortable with her left-wing cohort. As she made a stunning admission, Biden is regularly dissuaded from being open with the Biden-friendly mainstream media, or as I call it, the lamestream lying media. Axelrod essentially pointed out, Biden has a propensity to speak first without considering the ramifications of his words. And Psaki laughed and shared the truth about why he's rarely seen in front of the cameras. With regard to Biden going off script and admitting that a federal minimum wage hike would not be enlaced in the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, Biden created headaches for those around him, including Psaki. The ineffable Psaki downplayed the incident and even claimed Biden answers to reporters nearly every day. Then the admission came. Quote, "That's not something we recommend. In fact, a lot of times we say, don't take questions," she added. "But he's going to do what he wants to do because he's the president of the United States," unquote. Not only has Biden not answered many questions from the reporters, but when he has, his responses have often generated the wrong kinds of headlines. There is, of course, the endless speculation as to whether Biden is suffering from a cognitive decline, which I've been saying for a while, and I know a lot of people have been. Biden does little to dispel rumors that he is capable of handling the most important job on the planet, as he doesn't, nor has he ever been, able to get out of his own way. And that is the saddest part of this whole thing. Biden just cannot get out of his own way. Be right back.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol. Six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Root Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://amazon.com/dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, the Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM as the network has been shortened to, is growing again. Airing on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on CNM because now is the time for this network and his show, American by Design. As before, but with more urgency than ever, American by Design is back with the mellow voice of Bing, and that voice will help keep us all informed about what the Democrats have in store for us and why we have to fight them every step of the way, because socialism is not for us, freedom is. Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, American by Design with our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Epic Times from my other computer here. And it's asking me to do all kinds of stupid things, which I don't want to do. But, well, it's not going to allow me to do this, but America has to stop the stupidity that's going around. And one of the other things that's happening is Mother's Day is coming, which is going to be on Sunday. And to me, Mother's Day is something that, you know, everybody's got a mother, everybody's got somebody that brought them into this world. And having Mother's Day is a good thing to have. But now the left, in their insanity and stupidity, is now saying that Sunday isn't Mother's Day. It's Birthing People Day. And yes, I know this is stupid. This is insane, but that's what the left is doing here. They want to get rid of Mother's Day. They want to get rid of anything that shows that people actually have a heart. But the crazy left, who wants to transform everything in the United States, says Sunday isn't Mother's Day. According to them, no, it's not. It's Birthing People's Day. The reason, of course, is racism. Every birthing person has to feel safe, according to the loony left. Apparently, birthing while black is a death sentence. We disagree. Aborting 19 million of their babies since 1973 is the actual death sentence. The reason black women have a problem birthing is that they tend to be overweight or obese. But to the divisive left, everything is racism all the time, even Mother's Day. Tom Elliott of Elliott says, was talking about Anaya Presley. And when he says, supercut, tired women, wired, birthing people. folks, I don't know about you, but the idea that we cannot wish our moms Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day, Mom, is about as stupid as they come. I mean, I'm not going to walk up to my mom and say, oh, hey, Mom, Happy Birthing Person Day. She'd probably smack me right up against the wall. The left does not think when they come out with these things. The left doesn't think when they decide, oh, we're going to get rid of Mother's Day this year. It's going to be Birthing Person's Day. And then they'll come up with something like, after, if that doesn't work, then it'll be Indigenous Birthing Person's Day or something like that. The left is driving us insane. And like that guy at the beginning of my show, during my first hour, he was right. We need to start getting together, start going up against the left, the media, the big tech, and letting them know that we have had enough. We're tired of them all trying to destroy this nation. And then down on the southern border, we've got all this equipment down there, all these materials down there for building the wall, and Biden stopped it, which I said last week and the week before, that's illegal for him to do. Constitutionally, that's illegal for him to do. The money was already allocated. The stuff was already bought. The supplies are already down there. But right now, they're just laying there. Somebody's going to steal them. The cartels are all over the place down there now because all of the roads that were made to build the fence are now great avenues for the cartel to come right on in. They've got nice roads to come in on now. And of course, the Democrats are blaming Trump for the insurgence of illegals coming in. That's all Trump's fault, of course, because he kept the borders closed. And now that it's open, they're just doing what they naturally would do. I don't know. This whole thing is insane. Texas House passes a GOP-backed election integrity bill now. And the Texas State House on Friday, which was today, passed a GOP-backed election overhaul bill that would add new penalties and rules, becoming the latest state Republican-led legislative body to pass similar legislation in recent days. The House passed Senate Bill 7 on a 78-64 mostly party-line vote. The bill, which was first passed in the Senate but was significantly reworked in the House, will now head back to the Texas State Senate for a vote. Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Friday lauded the Republican state lawmakers for passing the bill in the House. He said, "This bill will help ensure that we have trust and confidence in the outcome of our elections. One step closer to my desk and making it a Texas law. The measure will make it a felony to provide voters with a vote-by-mail application if they hadn't already requested one." And that's what happened in this last election. They were just being sent out willy-nilly to everyone that they could, whether they asked for them or not. people were getting two and three of them. And, of course, Democrats who were getting two and three of them were using them. The bill's text reads, a person commits an offense if the person knowingly collects or possesses a ballot voted by mail or official carrier envelope from a voter in connection with vote harvesting services. Also, according to the bill, poll watchers can only be removed by a judge if the watcher engages in activity that would constitute an offense related to the conduct of the election. During the November 3rd, 2020 election, numerous Republican poll watchers stated that they were treated unfairly or kicked out of polling areas in places in areas like Philadelphia, Detroit, Atlanta. And we've all heard these. We've all seen videos of this. Essentially, should tell everybody that, hey, the election was not fair. But the judges, who are most of them are liberal to the core, won't hear it. And the ones that are not liberal won't hear it because they're afraid they would lose their position. This whole idea that if you're there to serve the people, and you won't do it because you're afraid you're going to hurt, get taken out for it. There is one of the problems this nation is having. News out of Michigan. It's happening again. The evil, corrupt Democrat psycho Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan is ready, willing, and chomping at the bit to shut down her state because of, you guessed it, COVID. It's been over a year since Michigan's Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer used unconstitutional powers to lock down Michigan citizens over fears of the Chinese virus pandemic. The economy in Michigan is on the verge of crumbling. Storefronts across cities of the Great Lakes state are blacked out, and out-of-business signs are common. Seniors died alone in nursing homes where Governor Whitmer placed COVID-positive patients, kind of like Cuomo, while field hospitals were left empty. Kids who have over a 99% survival rate from COVID were not allowed to play sports or hold hands with their best friend. Kids of all ages are suffering from depression related to unscientific lockdowns. Over 33% of restaurants in Michigan that Michigan's overreaching governor shut down will never reopen. Despite the negative feelings most Michigan residents have for Governor Whitmer, who spent her first year in office auditioning for Joe Biden's VP, she continues to persist with her already unproven theory that lockdowns save lives. As Michigan is now the number one state for COVID-positive cases per population. And remember now, they're locked down. But Duncan Smith at the National Sentinel has more. Not only did she shut down her state early, she shut it down often, issuing some of the strictest mandates in the country. That includes universal wearing of masks, despite the fact that it has become obvious masks are not the end all, be all to stop viruses. How do we know? Because COVID is spiking in Michigan again, despite Whitmer's mask mandate. And they're spiking here too, because our tyrant of a governor is wanting mask mandates again. And yet her buds in the Biden White House are now giving her justification to shut her state down again, in spite of the many court cases she has lost to GOP state legislature and business owners. Because tyrants, like viruses, Breitbart News ads, Centers for Disease and Control Prevention, or CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, on Monday suggested Michigan close things down as part of an effort to curb the state's rising number of coronavirus cases. Walensky's comments come as Michigan's average daily coronavirus case count has increased approximately sevenfold from its low point in February, while 9 of the 10 metropolitan areas with the most new cases per capita recently are in the Great Lakes state, according to the New York Slimes. When you have an acute situation, an extraordinary number of cases like we have in Michigan, the answer is not necessarily to give vaccines. In fact, we know the vaccine will have a delayed response, Walensky said in a briefing with reporters. The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, go back to where we were last spring, last summer, to flatten the curve, decrease contact with one another, to test to the extent we have available to contract trace. If we tried to vaccinate our way out of what is happening in Michigan, we'd be disappointed that it took so long for the vaccine to work to actually have the impact, the official added. Meanwhile, Whitmer conceded Sunday that she is seeing a surge of cases, that she's implementing restrictions on residents to combat the pandemic. Now, at the beginning of this show, I had that whole thing where that guy who was talking to doctors, who has his own show, showed that this spike that they're all talking about is a delayed reaction because of the backlog that they have. So they're getting away with it in Michigan, where she's saying, we are seeing a surge in Michigan despite the fact that we have some of the strongest policies in place, face mask mandates, capacity limits, working from home. We've asked our state for a two-week pause. So despite all of that, we are seeing a surge because of these variants. No, it's because you're not allowing the things to work out the way they should. The article ended with one line that was absolutely perfect. It says, how many times are these lunatics going to implement procedures and mandates that obviously don't work? Then it came up with an even better question. It says, how much longer are a sizable number of Americans going to put up with these lunatics? It is so true, folks. We have got to start pushing back. Just like the guy from his radio show in Washington, Todd Herman, said, we have to start fighting back, because as long as we don't, things are going to get worse. I guarantee you this. I have talked to many doctors. Most of them believe that things are being done wrong, but they won't talk about it because they're afraid of losing their positions. And I can understand this. I myself don't have a position that I'm afraid of losing. If I lose this network, big freaking deal. I'll figure something else out. If I get knocked off of YouTube, big freaking deal. I've got other options open. And as long as I have internet, and as long as I have the ability to make my stuff on my computer and then send it to Rumble and to BitChute, I am fine. Now, on Sunday, we have our show American by Design, Bing Fisher, and he has actually left Facebook, something that I considered for a while. But one of the reasons why I will not leave Facebook is because I consider it a badge of honor to get shadow banned, because that means I'm saying something that the left doesn't want to hear. And every time I say it, even if I get shadow banned, somebody is going to hear what I say. And that somebody will start to think. And if they start to think, then they'll start researching. And that's all I'm asking when it comes to stuff like that I talk about. Research this. Look it up. Find out if I'm telling the truth. I'm not afraid to be found out anything, because everything that I'm finding, I'm reporting just like these news people should be, which they are not. And as long as nobody does anything about this, lawyers, like the one here on this page that I'm looking at right now, will use racial slurs on fire victims who rejected his legal aid and punched cops. Go against them. They'll stop doing that. Then we get people who have to go to anger management class because the left deems that they must, when the people who should be in jail are also sent to anger management class. And then there's an article I found here. This anger management class attendee invades home with a knife and is shot dead by the woman. Well, the person that they're showing in the picture is black. And the thing underneath the picture says authorities do not intend to press charges on the woman who shot him in self-defense. Good. She shouldn't have charges pressed against her. I grew up in a time here in Albuquerque where we had guns in our house. And my dad taught both me and my brother how to fire, how to use a weapon, taught us the full respect that the weapon needs to have. He always told us, never aim a gun at anyone unless you intend to use it. Guns were always able for us to get a hold of. At that point in time, if somebody had broken into our house and been shot, breaking into our house, we wouldn't have had a problem, because he'd have been shot inside our house. If he broke in, we wouldn't have to worry. Today, on the other hand, that's a different story. You have somebody break into your house and you shoot him because they are threatening you. Chances are, in a city like Albuquerque right now, or like in Los Angeles or Michigan or New York, to defend yourself in these states means that you'll probably go to jail. And why it's gone this way, I don't know. But another thing that I have noticed, and this one just really drives me nuts, they're now starting to put advertisements on the television here in Albuquerque all about Asian hate. Asian hate crimes. Now, I've been watching this one too, because I've had a lot of friends who are Asians. To me, they are pretty much great people. I've had a lot of black friends. They are pretty much great people. Unless they decide that they're not going to follow the law. A lot of these Asian so-called hate crimes that are going on now are not being labeled as hate crimes by the media. And the only reason for it is because a lot of these crimes against Asians are being perpetrated by the black people, by blacks. That is probably the main reason why the media won't talk about it. Folks, the thing that's going on in this nation is, you know, the left is doing their damnedest to destroy this nation. The right needs to start standing up to them. A few of them are. But we have people like McConnell who will say something great one week, and then the next week he'll back right down and just fall right in line with Biden. People like that that we need to get rid of. And there are a lot of us out here, folks, who would run for office if we could. I know if I was able to, I would. I've thought about it. I don't have a doctorate degree. I don't have a degree to say that, hey, I'm a lawyer, thank God. But I do know right from wrong. I do know what is supposed to be done to keep America safe. And what Biden's doing is not it. What Trump was doing, he was doing a good job. But Biden, no, he's not. And until we start realizing that we need to start doing things correctly, things are going to continue to get worse and worse, and we have to start doing something about that. We'll be right back.
For a truthful change of pace, tune into Conservative Nation Media, where America is the good guy and illegals and terrorists are not.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we are back for the final segment of the show. Violent crime surged in several U.S. cities that saw massive Black Lives Matter, and I don't call it Black Lives Matter, I call it Black Lies Matter, L-I-E-S, and anti-police protests in the wake of George Floyd's death this last summer. The upswing of violent crime, including homicides, coincided with the protests, which were not protests, they were riots, increased anti-police sentiment among Americans and declining morale in police departments, which have since struggled to recruit new officers. Well, of course, people don't want to be police officers if they're going to be inundated with hate all the time. The number of murders alone has increased by 36.7% in 2020 compared to 2019, according to public information compiled by Data Analytics reporter Jeff Asher. The Louisville Police Union spokesperson David Mutchler told Daily Caller News Foundation last week, quote, "We are definitely at a critical manpower shortage here. The climate that we all find ourselves in right now is a lot more demanding and stressful on officers," unquote. He went on to say morale is basically in the toilet. Yeah, I would say so. In the wake of the death of George Floyd, who died after former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin kneeled on his neck for about 10 minutes in May 2020, thousands of protests and actually riots took place across the country. Chauvin was found guilty of second-degree and third-degree murder last month, and it's like I've said here, folks, his trial was not fair. We had Maxine Waters come in there and say, and open her pie hole when she, being a congresswoman, should have kept her freaking mouth shut. She went in there and said, if we don't get a guilty verdict, there will be riots in the street. How could we have a fair verdict on that? He was charged with second degree and third degree murder. It should have been at the most second degree manslaughter. Protests and the demonstration in which demonstrators alleged widespread police brutality occurred in about 1,700 different U.S. municipalities and cities within the span of just a few weeks in June 2020, USA Today reported. Overall, the protests and the riots caused about $1 billion in damage. Who's paying for all of that? We are. In addition to property damage, violent crime increased rapidly last summer. These cities were particularly hit hard by the crime surge: Minneapolis, Minnesota; New York City, New York; Chicago, Illinois; Washington, D.C.; Atlanta, Georgia. And there's been more. Albuquerque right now has got the most homicides in the year that they've ever had. Now, it's nowhere near what Chicago has had. Chicago in one weekend will have what Albuquerque has had. But you see what's going on here. You see what's happening. And as long as this is being allowed, folks, as long as this is being allowed, it's going to continue to get worse. I guarantee to you it will get worse. And all you have to do to see what I'm saying is true is research it. Open up your mind a little bit and research it. Don't just look to the New York Slimes and the Chicago Sun Times or whatever the hell it's called. Look at CNN. Look at MSNBC. Look at ABC, CBS, NBC. See what they're saying. Then go to Fox News. Then go to Newsmax TV. Then go to Epic Times. See what's being said. Research it. That's the only way that you will get the truth, is to research it. Don't just let your mind take over and say, okay, well, I heard it in the news. They can't lie. It must be true. CNN lies every time somebody from CNN opens their mouth. I don't think I have heard the truth from CNN in 4 years. Of course, I don't listen to them very much because they lie. And that's just all there is to it. I am glad that I've had a couple of listeners who have come in. Right now, the Sarge that was here, he listened to the show. He just left a couple of minutes ago, so he's probably heading to another show that's getting ready to start. But tomorrow, we'll have Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. He's on Saturday evenings about, I think it's 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. Eastern time. And he will have a great show. And then on Sunday, we'll have our own Uncle Bing Fisher with his show, American by Design. And he's always got a great show. And last week he had his show at 8 o'clock Eastern. Usually I think it's at 7. But he'll be in here on Sunday. So we'll have ourselves a full weekend of great shows. We are glad that you were here. We are glad that you were here today. We had a good show, I think. And like I said, most of my listeners come in after the fact. We've had some good listeners numbers the past couple of weeks. So CNM is growing. We're also right now actively looking for new show hosts to join CNM, as we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays open, and we'd like to fill those. And if it comes down to it, we'll add somebody else on a day when we've already got somebody. We'll just put them at a different time. But CNM is growing, and we're here specifically to get the truth out, to get the news out that the lamestream lying media, Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, and all those others will not let us get out. Our tyrant here in New Mexico, she's got a bunch of things happening right now, mainly because Republicans are starting to force their way in and say, we've got a couple of Republicans who are running for governor for this next time. We've got a Republican who's running for the mayorship of Santa Fe, which would be awesome if that happened. We've got a Republican who's running for here in Albuquerque. And we just have to start watching what's going on. We have to start watching, because our leaders, Biden, who shouldn't even be there right now, is tearing this country apart. Harris, who is supposed to be in charge of the southern border, has not been there. She has been completely out of touch when it comes to that border for 50 days now. And then there's a breaking news story out of Americans Freedom Fighters, and it says, as Biden opens borders, cartel war leaves 19 torched bodies in Mexican border town less than 7 miles from Rio Grande City, Texas. And Biden says there's no crisis down there. Folks, Trump's call for a wall on our southern border never presumed anyone on the other side was a dangerous criminal. Yet that's what Biden says he was thinking. Still, it did acknowledge criminals had an illicit interest in cross-border traffic. Biden's immigration policies are increasing the dangers of American cities near the border. Cartel leaves 19 torched bodies. The El Paso Times reported this. Mexican authorities say they have found 19 shot and burned bodies near a town across the Rio Grande from Texas, in an area that has seen violent territorial disputes between organized crime groups in recent years. Folks, that's right on our border. Biden and Pelosi and Harris, none of them say there is a crisis there. But we're finding people shot and burned right at the border. And the article that I was reading said all had been shot, but shells were not found at the site, leading investigators to believe they were killed somewhere else. The new president's open border policy has enticed the immigrant caravans to restart their treks to illegally enter the country and strikes fear into the hearts of communities such as Rio Grande City, which are right across the border from the cartel-dominated territory in Mexico. And for all of you liberals who don't think this is a crisis, Mexico is right on the southern side of the Rio Grande River. The northern side of the Rio Grande River is the United States, folks. I remember a few years ago, when I was still living in Indiana, one of the things that I joined was this company that used to have cameras out there. They didn't have the manpower to man these cameras, but they were automatic cameras. Somebody had to watch them. The people who joined this, which I did, sat on their computers at night, chose a camera, and watched that area on their computers at night. And if they saw anything, which I did about three or four times, you had a place where you could report this. A lot was done good then. This was back when Obama was president, and Obama had the border open. I haven't been able to find that site yet that had all those cameras down there. If they're still working, I don't know. But it was a good idea. And people all over the nation were watching that southern border and watching cameras that were on all the time. And one of my favorite places to watch was down in Texas. Had a train track in the distance. There was a highway in the distance, but right in front of the camera was this little bitty dirt road that illegals would use to get into America on. And the whole thing was, if you were watching that camera and you saw anybody on that little bitty road, there was a number for you to, there was an email thing that you could actually email somebody right there and let them know that you saw somebody from camera 4, and they'd know exactly where it was and they could send somebody in. It was really a great thing. I felt good sitting in Indiana and being able to watch our border to keep America safe. Now that I'm down here and the border is less than 300 miles away, those cameras, if they're still working, I haven't been able to find them. They're not on the internet anymore. But it'd be a good idea to get that started up again. And if it was shut down, the cameras were there. It wouldn't take that much to get it going again. And people all over the United States would watch. Because the people, it seems, like this country a hell of a lot more than Biden or Harris or Schumer or McConnell or Pelosi or Waters or Ilhan Omar, any of those idiots. I've kind of gone over my time a little bit, but I am glad that I was able to do the show tonight. I'm glad that I was able to get my show out the full time tonight and even beyond that. We will be back this next week. Like I said, tomorrow will be Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Sunday will be our own Uncle Bing Fisher with American by Design. And I will be back next Friday at 9 p.m. at my normal time. And Monday through Thursday, I will be doing my NWCR's Removing the Liberal Blindfold updates that I do daily. And I'm hoping that people will start subscribing to these. They'll be on Rumble and BitChute, and they're also on YouTube until I get knocked off of there. But we will be back this next week. Tomorrow will, like I said, tomorrow will be Black by Color Only. Sunday will be American by Design. So I'm glad the people were here tonight. God bless you all. God bless America. And as we always say, we will not